I want to turn to Exodus 2, 1 through 10 as we honor mothers today. Godly strengthened mothers. Exodus 2. And a man of the house of Levi went and took a wife, a daughter of Levi. So the woman conceived and bore a son. And when she saw that he was beautiful, a beautiful child, she hid him 3 months. But when she could no longer hide him, she took an ark of bulrush for him and dubbed it with asphalt and pitch, put the child in it and laid it on the reeds by the riverbank. And his sister stood afar off to know what would be done to him. Then the daughter of the Pharaoh came down to the bathe at the river, and her maidens walked along the riverside. And when she saw that the ark among the reeds, she sent her maids to get it. And when she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby wept. So she had compassion on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrew children." Then his sister said to the Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call a nurse for you from the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for you?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." So the maiden went and called the child's mother. Then Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages." So the woman took the child and nursed him. And the child grew, and she brought him to the Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. So she called his name Moses, saying, "Because I drew him out of the water." Do you know her name? Remember, you don't know her name. We don't know her name, except in Exodus 6:20, gives her name. It says, "And now Abram took for himself Jochebed." I can't do the k. It's a k. Jochebed, something like that. "His father's sister, a wife, and she bore him Aaron and Moses. And the years of the life of Abraham were 137 years. Jochebed is her name. It means God's glory. Yahweh's glory is what it means. Yahweh's glory. Man, I honor our mothers today, that there's so much our mothers go through. I mean, you guys go through so much for us. I know I put my mom and my brother and put her through a lot of stuff, and we deceived her many times. We thought we had stuff over on her, but mom was mom, and mom loved us and cared for us and nurtured us and lifted us up. And that's what you mothers do. You mothers nurture and lift and raise up and give a destiny for their child. And you mothers continually hold on to those destinies and those things that you aspire for your children, even when your children do not walk out the way that you want them to. You still aspire for them to be that person, that man or woman that you've imagined in your mind. All of you have imagined, when even fathers do too, but mothers more so, when they take that baby and it's just been birthed and they wipe the baby down. I don't know if they wipe it down, but that they give you the baby and you have this in your hands, and like, this child will be blessed. This child is beautiful. This child is great. You mothers have this connection that fathers cannot have. And so I honor you today because you bring destiny into children's lives. You have brought destiny into their life and purpose. When we think of God as Father, we often picture power, protection, and provision. Yet God often allows us to reflect his character in the best and darkest of times. That's how we reflect. You mothers might not have the power and that manly thing, but you have something that is so more tangible for a child. It is a tenderness. It is a love that wraps your arms around them, that they know that they are in peace and comfort. When a baby wants something like a boy, he wants something like a man, they'll run to the papas, right? They run to the papas or the daddies. They run to them. But when they get hurt, who do they run to? They run to moms because you're tender. You will have compassion. right? Us dads are like, it's all right. Where's it hurt at? Hit it, right? But mom's like, oh, let's put a Band-Aid on it. Let's doctor it up, right? And now every time they run to you or they see a little bit of blood or a little scratch, I need a Band-Aid. Right? Because they know moms, grandmothers, because you all have the instinct to tenderly love, tenderly care for. Us men do not have that. In Exodus 1 and 2, a terrifying decree would come out. So in Exodus 1 and 2, what was going on in Exodus 1 and 2? Do you know? The Hebrew population was growing tremendously. The children were blessed. I mean, they were having kids. You're talking about having kids and having kids. They was having all kinds of kids. And boys were, if you have more men, that means there's more fighting power in men. And they liked to subdue, they wanted to subdue them and keep them in slavery or labor. They wanted to keep that labor. Remember how they got there. We're not going to go there. But anyway, a new Pharaoh came in power that didn't know Joseph. And a new Pharaoh came in power and says, hey, we got to do something about this Hebrew tribe. They are growing way too fast. So they decided that they would try to kill the kids, right? They were going to kill the kids. And so during Moses' time, they told the handmaidens or the, midwives. The midwives, they told them that when a Hebrew boy comes out, slay it. Just slay it or throw it in a river or whatever. And they said, we can't do that. They trusted God. I mean, they feared God. The midwife feared God. And so they would told Pharaoh that man, these Hebrew ladies, they are just so strong. They have the babies before we can even get there. And so this was going on during Moses' time. Aaron was 3 years old. So that means Aaron was past that two-year age mark. So it was a minute about that time when Moses was born that his mother took a chance and had Moses, and she took him and hid him away for 3 months without crying, without weeping. And, she hid him away. It could have been her life. But see, this is something you mothers do. You will give your life for your children. You will absolutely die for your children. You will stand in front of a car for your children. That's just what you will do. You will fight for them. You mother bears, right? Anybody treats my child wrong, I'm going to go fight for them. You ever seen that? Yeah. I've seen it. I've seen it myself. They'll stick up and fight. You guys will stick up and fight for them. And so this is what she was doing. She was fighting for her son. She called him, he was blessed. He looked adorable. He was beautiful. And I'm just going to go on. So one thing here, I want to talk about: a mother sees potential in her children. You're encouragers. My mom has encouraged me all my life. All my life you've encouraged me. All my life she's encouraged my siblings as well. She has been that stable mom, right, that's been there. When I couldn't do something, she said I could. When I didn't like spelling, she made me spell. I didn't like it at all. But I honored my mom that would get up every morning and feed me breakfast every morning. All of us kids, she'd get up and feed us breakfast every morning. Wake us up every morning for school. She was there for us. Every time, even when we were pretty bad. Words that come from a mother are strength. You guys might not understand that or know that, but what you give to us children are strength and power. You empower us to move to different levels of our life. Empowerment is what you give us by your words, by your love and compassion. You guys represent the Father so much. You represent Him so much. You know, we always want to look at God with this lightning bolt and this strength and this power and throwing fire out of heaven. But we forget that He made women too. He made woman too out of the peace and love and compassion of His heart. See, he's both. And God made you specifically special for us, for our children. The word Yochebed, it says she saw her son and saw him as Tov, good and beautiful, special. She looked beyond the Pharaoh and saw the calling of God on his life. As a Christian mom, and this is the best mom to be as a Christian mom, and I don't know what you guys were raised in. I don't know what kind of atmosphere was in your family, but I was raised in a Christian home, and there was a purpose. She created us with purpose. She brought us to school. You know, she brought us to church. If you were brought to church as a child, the Bible tells us you will not depart from those ways, even though we get crazy sometimes, Wes. Even though we do things that we should not do, Chris, we do those things, but the Bible tells us that will bring us right back. And we will not depart from the faith. I believe that with my brother. I believe that with my sisters are already on the faith track. And I believe that for my brother as well, that he will not depart from that faith. God, our Father, looks at us through the lens of our circumstances or imperfections. How many have looked through those imperfections as mothers, looked through those imperfections of the children, of the child, and said, man, you're beautiful. You are adorable. There's only one way I can love you, and that's with all my heart. Right? And it doesn't matter what we look like, act like, feel like, mothers love no matter what. That is the Father's heart. You know, until Jesus' return, he's loving everyone. He's loving people. He wants them to come into fellowship with him. He's loving them. You look through our imperfections. You look through the lens of purpose. Those lenses of purpose in our life. Purpose. We see that in your ability to give us that the strength, because you place that purpose in your mind and thoughts and prayers, and it moves us to that destiny that we have. Prayers are powerful. Yochebed's ability to see goodness in her son when the world saw him as a threat, as the world of the Hebrew kids, the world saw Moses and all the young boys being born as a threat to the kingdom of Egypt. But she seen purpose in him. It kind of mirrors how God sees purpose in us. There's purpose in each one of you. We might think that there is no purpose. I've lived my life. I have no direction. I have nothing left to give. But God says there's still purpose in you. There's still a purpose in your heart. There's still a purpose for you in this world. It might be just to tell people that they need to get oil. You need Jesus is coming back. The bridegroom is coming. The bridegroom is coming. Get some oil. That might be your purpose and calling right now. Second thing, love takes risk. Loves that take risk. It's a protection. Yochebed was not paralyzed by fear. You women are not paralyzed by fear at all. She was not paralyzed by fear. She took immediate action to protect Moses, hiding him for 3 months because she trusted God more than she feared man. That's one thing about a godly woman. She trusts God more than she fears man. And man, when you trust God with everything you have, man, you can do all kinds of things. Change the world. Right? One mom, Mary, raised Jesus to change the world. There's many other people. One mom that, you know, President Donald Trump, his mother raised him in a way that he became president of the United States in this season. I don't glorify everything he does, but I do know that God has placed him in for a season. It's for this time and season. God, it says that he puts kings in place and takes them out of place when it's time. This fearlessness is rooted in faith, a core trait of the Father God who acts to save us from destruction. We're all in a place of destruction sometimes if we're not living our life for him. Yochebed's courage is in defiance of the enemy's decree, shows a fierce, protective nature of God who shields his people. That's what you mothers do, a protective nature in you. I've seen protective nature in Tabitha that is like, she's ready to fight the world. All the kids that want to come over, fight them. They talk bad, fight them. Say something about her kid, fight them, right? All your moms are the same way. You might hide it, but you're all the same way. You'll have that protective nature in you for protection of your children. You ever see a deer that has a little one, and she'll fight and protect that little baby. It's all the animals. All the animals. In nature, all the mothers will protect their young, no matter what. Number three, a love that releases control. A love that releases control. When she couldn't hide him no longer, Yochebed did something counterintuitive. She placed the baby in a basket. Who would have thought that they were taking these babies, right? They were taking these babies and throwing them in the Nile, all right? They were throwing them to drown them. That's what they came in to kill the babies. And she takes the baby and puts him in an ark. And she places him in the very place that they was killing the babies. And she put him in a safe ark. Trusting God. Trusting God. Could you give your child away? Could you give your child away? One of the toughest things that a mother would do would be give her child away so he could live out his purpose. See, when you think about it that way, you trusted God enough to know that he had a purpose in him, that you gave him away. You gave him a chance to survive. You gave him a chance to live. I'm trying to think of the mother now. It's on top of my head. She, Hannah. Yeah, Hannah. How she prayed to God for a son. I mean, with all her heart, she prayed for God for a son. And when she's at the temple, she's at the tabernacle and praying, Eli says, "Well, you're drunk, you can't be talking." And she, because she was mumbling her words, and when she came back the following year, she had a baby. And she dedicated Samuel to the priesthood. Could you give your child away knowing that you promised God? God, I promise you, if you give me a son, I will give him back to you. Hardest thing. I wonder how many mothers would relent on what they promised God. Huh? Tough. You really got to trust God. Samuel had a purpose. He had a purpose. This is the ultimate act of releasing control into the hands of the Father that we have to do. She trusted God's providence to hold her son when she could not no longer do it. The Father also releases us to live for him, trusting us to navigate the Nile. There's times that we need to navigate of this world, knowing he is the sovereign over all the world. He's the sovereign over all outcomes. We have a part to play in it. It's our choice. God's got a plan and purpose for us. It's our choices that we make in our life chooses the direction where we go. But ultimately, God has a purpose and direction for your life. What choices will you make to get there? Will you trust God enough to listen to his voice to get into that place? He has a purpose for each one of us. The fourth thing, this is the last thing today. A love that provides a future. You mothers nurture enough, knowing that one day your daughter or your son is going to be mated with another person, opposite sex, be conjoined with them. They're going to leave your house, your covering, and they're going to have their own home. They're going to have their own covering. I don't know how difficult that is. It was like good for our kids to get out of the house, right? It's like you want to get them out as a man. I don't know how mothers feel. It's like, get them out. Move them out. Give me some room, right? But mothers have this instinctive, man, just stay. Stay as long as you want. It's like, nah, it's time to move. Time to move out. God rewarded Jochebed. Listen to this. He rewarded her trust. Not only was Moses saved, but Pharaoh's daughter hired her to nurse her own son. She got to raise her son until he was 6 years old. Got to teach him in the ways of the Hebrew children. Got to teach him about the God that they served. Got to elaborate on who he was and how much. And she, you know, she told him the story. You know what was going on? They were killing all the babies, all the baby boys. They were killing them. And I was supposed to let them kill you. But I took you and I hid you and I made sure you didn't cry and I comforted you and I saved you for 3 months. And then I couldn't do it anymore because you got too loud. And I had to do something drastic. Something that no mother would ever think of doing. I had to put you in this little basket and trust God that you would that God was going to protect you and guide you where you needed to go. And I covered you in this basket and I made it with pitch and I covered it. It's just like Noah. Noah built that ark and you know she told him the story and he built this ark. It took him 100 and some years to build it and he put pitch on it and this big flood came and he said, it's the same thing I did to you. It gave life to those people in the ark and all the animals. I gave you life. And I trusted God. I didn't know where you was going to go, but I knew that somewhere down the road, God was going to use you because I know you're blessed. And this lady gets to nurture her baby for 6 years. Powerful. Powerful words that a mother will teach their young. As a little kid, how much they grab a hold on to, how much they learn. I love that Owen is my grandson, but I love he's got this song. I trust in God. How's it go? What's your song? I trust in God. That's what I thought. And he sings that all the time. I trust in God. Why does he sing that? Because he hears us sing it here. And I trust in God. Do I really trust in God? Then my children start to see, my grandchildren start to see that I trust in God in all my ways. This is what you mothers do. You bring this trust. You bring this thing in that is, I trust God no matter what. When my child is wayward, when my child is walking in the wrong way, walking down the wrong path, I will fall on my knees and I will cry out to you, God. And I will lift up my voice to you, God. I will fight in the spiritual realm. I will fight against the enemy that is trying to take my son or my daughter away. I will fight and fight and fight. And you mothers never give up. You never give up. My mom still prays today for me and my siblings and her grandchildren, her great-grandchildren. She prays for them on her knees, on her face before the Lord. Trusting God will bring them into a place of knowledge. Trusting in God that they will not fall away or depart from the faith. Trusting God that they will not get carried away. That's what you mothers do. We men fight, but we don't have that compassion as much as you do. We have compassion, but it's not like a mother. The Father provides for us in an unexpected way. He's turning our greatest moments of fearful surrender into our greatest moments of purposeful living. When you're going through the hardest thing in your life, you don't know how you're going to get out of it. He will make that fearful place into a promised future. That's how God turns it around. Ain't there a song like that? Turn it around, God. Just turn it around in my life. So as we close today, Jochebed's life challenged us to act on our own faith. Even in a hostile environment, she trusted God with the outcome, recognizing that the deliverance was not hers, but God's. Today, the Father calls us to be like Jochebed, to trust Him with all our babies. All our babies. If you're in this church, you're part of the family of God. You're part of the Calvary Temple family. We should pray. And when our children stand up here every Sunday morning, it's not just stretch your hands forth to these children. It's to pray for these children. It's to see God move in their life. It's to pray for the enemy that's trying to take them away from whatever direction. It's the friends that they come in contact with. It's the words that they hear. We're supposed to pray against it. God, put a hedge of protection around our babies. Trust, come on, God. Put a hedge of protection around their ears, God. Around their eyes, God, that they can see the true nature. And that's what they do back in that room. Hear a word placed in their heart. That I trust in God no matter what my life and what's going on. I trust in Him. Let me have the boldness. Father, I pray over boldness over our babies today. That they will fulfill their purpose in You. Our ministries are the same way. We should pray over our ministries in that same aspect of things. Fighting against the enemy. Come against the strongholds that hold us back and from our future. And trust that when we release them to Him, that they are safe. These children will be safe. So today I honor you, mothers. Mothers, you can't imagine how much we really love you. You can't imagine how much we really love you. So today we honor you by letting you out early. I think you got a good word today. I think there's a couple words in this message from the beginning and then through the message that you carry with you. But mothers, we honor you. We bless you. We love you. We care for you. You get to watch your children grow up and be strong. Mighty, play games, be the best that they can be. And you sit back and, I don't know how your mothers do. Do you just relish on those thoughts and memories? And do you relish on those things of like, I remember when? You probably all remember the very moment your little baby first said mama or dada or crawled or walked. You remember the time. You remember how old they were. You remember, I don't remember. But I bet my moms do. You remember every little thing. And we bless you for that. We thank you for the history and the purpose that you place in our lives.